right. Would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2? So we've been going through this series basically of gaining victory in our lives, in our minds, in different areas. And what we've been talking about is how one of the keys to that is walking in the Spirit and therefore producing the fruit of the Spirit. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit and particularly love in 1 Corinthians 13. Well, today, I want to address a really important aspect of that love, which is humility and actually achieving unity and strong relationships, strong marriages through humility. And again, I'm going to have some really practical things that we can do, but I got to remind you that the key to all of this is a close walk with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, because without that, you have no power. So I was this week, I've been remodeling a bedroom and a bathroom, and of course, a lot of my, not my favorite tools, but they're good tools. And most of them run off of these lithium batteries here. And my screw guns, my skill saw, a lot of things. And I was using this Sawzall here. I was cutting out a big fiberglass shower piece, right, doing demo. And, you know, this thing is quite handy. But I was almost finished with it, and I ran out of battery. And I went and got my other batteries, and I realized that I hadn't plugged any of them in, and they were all dead. And so here I was, instead of using this thing as it was meant to be, I'm actually like manually just sawing this thing, and it was very slow going. I probably looked pretty dumb, and I felt even dumber. But the point is that, you know, you need to be plugged in to the power. You need to charge your batteries. Without the power of God in achieving the works of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, you really have nothing. You'll still work at it. And in fact, you work even harder at, for example, trying to love, but you'll get a lot slower and a lot less effect and result. And so the key in the power, I just want to remind you, what we've been talking about is immersing ourselves in the presence of Christ, in the, walking in the Spirit, and thus that's the power to not fulfill the desires of the flesh and those selfish things, and it is producing the fruit of the Spirit. And so as we look in Philippians here, chapter 2, verse 1, it's very consistent. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of his love, if you have any fellowship of the Spirit, see, there it is, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and being of one mind. So if you'll notice, there's a cause and effect there with the whole if and then. It starts with if there is any consolation or encouragement. If you've received or are receiving any encouragement in Christ. If any comfort of his love. If fellowshipping with the Spirit. If receiving affection and mercy. And by the way, the word if there means if and it is. In other words, we could use the word since. Because since we have received consolation in Christ, since we've received comfort of his love, then the effect, he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, meaning for others, for one another, and being of one accord and being of one mind. So, you know, are you working on your marriage, for example, or working at being a better friend to someone or to others, or working at being a better son or daughter, or you want to be a better employee, or maybe you strive to be a better witness for the Lord to other people. This is the way, my friends. Basically, this is the way of achieving that unity and strong love and relationships, but it's through humility. So the how is very simple. Basically, it's like Jesus said, freely you've been given, so freely give. You can't give away something that you don't have. But if you have been walking in the Spirit, you've been receiving such consolation, encouragement in Christ and all of these things, and you're just overflowing in what God gives to you, then it becomes really natural, I should say supernatural, because it's of the Spirit, to love like this. So think about this verse. Do you have any consolation or encouragement from being united with Christ? I hope so. If you do, it says, encourage one another in Christ. Encourage one another by being united in Christ. Do you have any comfort in his love? Well, comfort one another with his love that overflows. I love, I think it's 2 Corinthians 1, where it talks about God the Father being the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all kinds of afflictions, so that, it says, we may comfort others with the comfort that we've been comforted by. That's a lot of comfort, but that is the heart, the nature, the comfort, and the peace of God overflowing onto us and us overflowing that onto one another. It says, basically, do you have any fellowship and closeness with the Spirit? Well, extend that into fellowship with one another in the Spirit. Have you received any affection? It says affection and mercy. Have you received any affection from the Lord? Meaning grace, any kindness, gentleness? Well, give that affection, that kindness, that grace to others. It says, or mercy. Christian, have you received mercy from the Lord? Do you think maybe you can extend that mercy to others who might need it? By the way, here it says affection and mercy. This is really the same as Paul says in all of his other letters when he says, grace and mercy to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know the difference, basically these Siamese twins, they go together because mercy is basically not getting what you deserve, what our sins deserve, not receiving the judgment that our sins deserve. Whereas grace is on top of that, receiving all of the favor and the gifts and the richness in Christ that we don't deserve. And so in this verse, I love it. Basically, have you received any affection, grace and favor, or mercy from the Lord? Well, let your joy be complete by, if you are receiving this, again, even in the now, you're enjoying, receiving, appreciating the grace and favor and the mercy that you stand on and that you are receiving right now. Well, then just overflow that. And I really believe that if you are in fellowship with the Lord, and you are just enjoying worshiping the Lord and appreciating that grace and mercy, then it just supernaturally, out of the overflow of your heart, so your mouth will speak. And your joy will be complete because you'll be like-minded. You'll have the same love. You'll be of one accord. You'll be achieving this in your relationships, being of one mind. And so it's interesting how, you know, at the beginning of this whole video series, we started with 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. And we were talking about how to get your mind right, your thought life right. Victory there with the Lord, and therefore it immediately affects your heart and your emotions, right? But this victory, getting peace from God and with God, that just surpasses understanding. Well, now we're kind of coming full circle to how this will transfer that peace of God that you're receiving overflowing into your relationships. And peace with others, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. So basically, freely you've been given, freely give. So now Paul adds this key element here that's really necessary for all of this to work, for this agape love to work in our relationships. Humility is so vital. And I like how he breaks it down in verses 3 and 4 here. He says, verse 3, this is strong language, let nothing, that means no thing, not one thing, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That's a big half sentence right there. But rather, in contrast, it says, in lowliness of mind. There you go back to the mind. That is basically humility. In lowliness of mind, it says, let each of you esteem others as better than yourself. Does that sound like something you can do in the flesh without the Spirit of God? But it's funny how in closeness and fellowship with the Spirit and worshiping the Lord, receiving comfort and encouragement from Christ, how these things start to overflow naturally or supernaturally. So let each esteem others better than himself, and let each of you look out not only for his own interests. Doesn't mean you're not looking out for yourself and own interests, but it says, but also for the interest of others. I love this verse. I love these verses. In the same way, like we talked about Philippians 4, 6, where it says, be anxious for nothing, not one thing. Here he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, like living to get from others, but rather in lowliness of mind, humility, look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Basically, care about other people. That's really all it's saying. Just care about other people and their interests and their benefit, as well as your own. It's so important. It's so rewarding. And those who, honestly, they just live to get and get and get for themselves, man, those are the people that come up with the least in life, and definitely the least in God's economy. I love the joke. It's about three people on a passenger plane, not including the pilot. There was an elderly retired pastor, there's a Boy Scout, and there is this guy that was considered to be the smartest man on the planet. And they're flying along, and the pilot calls back, and he says, I have really bad news. I says, the engine has just gone out. And the plane is going to go down, but there are only three parachutes. And I have a wife and all these kids depending on me, so I'm taking one of them and I'm bailing. And so he bails. And so the three left are sitting there looking at each other, and one guy says, well, you know, I am the smartest man in the world, and the world needs my knowledge and my chips and vaccines anyways. No, just kidding. He says, the world needs my knowledge, and so I'm taking one of these. And so he grabs one and he jumps out. So then the older man and the Boy Scout are looking at each other, and finally the old guy says, you know, son, I have lived a long and fruitful life for the Lord. He's been so good to me, and you're just beginning in life, and I want you to take the last parachute and just, you know, just make it count. Live for the Lord. And the Boy Scout says, relax, Pop. Smartest man in the world just jumped out the window with my backpack. So the point is, well, there's a lot of points to it, but living for your own interests and just yourself, it doesn't always pay off. In fact, you could add to the end of that, pride goes before the fall. Or there's a way that seems right to a man and in the end leads to death. But living just for ourselves does not really pay off, but humility does. And looking out for others' interests, and especially in God's economy, when it comes to rewards and eternal effect for his kingdom. Isn't that, Christian, what we are here for? And don't, at the end, when we stand before the Lord, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I hope those words mean a lot to you and that they're your ultimate goal. And so I want to leave you with some practical help here. And I hope I can articulate this right. But it's really this idea that pride pushes and humility leads and pulls, draws in. If you think about, pride is very pushy. The only direction you can push someone or something is away from yourself. Whereas drawing and pulling draws in. I mean, think about where it says how God's kindness, as I've been mentioning a lot, it's God's kindness that leads us toward him and towards repentance. And so with that in mind, when you have a conflict with someone, whether an ongoing or even if you find yourself in the middle of one, usually pride is somewhere involved, somewhere at the center. And I know it's really easy. It's always easy to identify someone else's pride. But I want to encourage you to, first of all, just kind of turn it and try to identify any place where you are being acting in self-interest and pride, that part. And then choose to flip the script with humility and kindness. I was thinking, one of my favorite Bugs Bunny skits is when Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, it's the old rabbit season, duck season skit. I even looked it up again the other day. But if you remember, Elmer Fudd is with his double barrel shotgun out hunting. And he's got his gun pointed, and Daffy Duck, you know, points the gun towards Bugs Bunny. He says, it's rabbit season. And Bugs Bunny turns it back and he says, duck season. And they're pushing this gun back and forth, you know, pointing it. Rabbit season, duck season, rabbit season, duck season, rabbit season, duck season, you know, rabbit season. And then Bugs Bunny winks at the camera and he goes, points it at himself. He goes, rabbit season. And Daffy goes, duck season, rabbit season, duck season, rabbit season. And then Daffy Duck goes, duck season, fire, and, you know, and his bill spins around and all of that. The thing is, though, is this can actually be done in a really good way with pride versus humility and really operating in the spirit versus the flesh. Let me give you an example. Let's say, me and a friend are playing basketball. We just played basketball one-on-one, and we finish up, and at the end, I get all, full of myself, and I'm like, man, I owned you, bro, or, something like that. Talking trash, your ball handling, not so good. When I stole that ball from you, and I ran around, and I scored, and I'm putting it forth like I'm better. Well, pride calls out to pride. Most likely his response is going to be, oh, yeah? He said, well, you're slow, man. When I grabbed that and I spun around my spin move and it went around and you're too slow, man, I'm better. And then maybe it's like, well, I'm better. And my mama's faster than you. Oh, my grandma's fast. Maybe it even turns into actual pushing and shoving. I don't know. It happens. But flip the script with kindness and humility instead. What if we finish and instead I say, dude, man, that spin move was amazing. Man, I couldn't even keep up with you. I'm thinking, man, this guy is better than me. Whether I won or lost, you are so good. Most likely the response, because humility calls out to humility. Love calls out to love. Kindness calls out to kindness. It's hard to be rude continually to someone who's being kind to you. So maybe he turns around and he's like, what? Dude, no, you're amazing, man. I could hardly keep up with you. And we're like, all of a sudden we're like, no, you're amazing. No, you're amazing. No, you're good. No, you're good. And what's happening is drawing together with kindness that leads towards one another. This is how it works in marriage as well. I really want to mention to you married folks out there, or if you're not married, your other relationships, friendships, but say in marriage, instead of when arguing, just pointing out the other's flaws or putting yourself above them or tearing them down and getting torn down in the process, or as we talked about last week, keeping a record of wrongs, that does happen, or this, well, you do this, or you always do this. It's like, well, I do this because you always do that, and you provoke me, and it's your fault. It's your fault. What if you flip the script on that? How about keeping a record of rights? How about keeping and mentioning a record of things that you love about the other person instead of tearing one another down, building each other up? Or, even in the middle of the conflict, a conversation that's conflict, and you're pointing the finger at each other, what if you pause and you decide, you know what, I'm just going to take that gun, I'm going to point it at myself instead. It's called repentance. It's called humility. It's called confession. It takes humility. So if you stop, and even in the middle of your fault, your fault, your fault, what if you stop and you say, you know, honey, you're right. I do that, don't I? you think about where does she or he have a point? It's called seeking understanding where someone's coming from. I'm going to focus on that right now. I do that, and I can see how this affects you, and I really want to change this. Can you pray for me? And maybe you add kindness to that once you realize it. You have been so patient with me now that I think about it. You've been so gracious with me. I don't know how you put up with it. I'm just saying, because I've done this, and my wife has done this to me too. It's really hard to stay angry at somebody who's being humble. And it's like, you know what? You're just so amazing. You're right. I do this, and I'm going to work on this. And I love you so much. I don't deserve you. Then it's like, well, actually, no, I'm sorry. I don't deserve you. And it's like, no, I love you. I love you. I love you. And here's the thing, you guys. The beauty of it is this is not just a Bugs Bunny trick or manipulation when it's just done sincerely in the spirit. You know, it's done and you really mean it. But it can't be done sincerely in the flesh. This has to be done in the spirit. This is what the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, that love and that appreciation, that encouragement, consolation in Christ, the mercy I've received from the Lord, it overflows. This is what it means to basically be giving away what you are simultaneously receiving from Jesus, and how the overflow of a man or woman's heart, so the mouth speaks. And so in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so next week, my friends, we're just going to look at Jesus and not just how, like what he has done to give us that grace and mercy, but also how that is such an example, a powerful example of how husbands are to love their wives, wives love their husbands, how we're to love our children, our friends, our coworkers, to move in that humility. And again, victory in the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is how Jesus thinks. Father, thank you so much for your word and your Holy Spirit and your presence. Lord, that we get to be in your presence at all is such a, Lord, we don't deserve it. And all the grace and the riches, Lord, that you have just lavished upon us, Lord, it's overwhelming. I pray that it would be overflowing in us by the power of your Spirit as we walk close to you, and it would overflow into all of our relationships, so that we'll be of one mind, that we'll be of one accord, that we'll be of the same mind and the same love, and you will be glorified and our joy will be complete. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.